and welcome to Birthday Skin.
Hello.
This is a skincare podcast with me, Charlie Perry, and...
And me, Amy Wall.
And we are not experts.
No. We've never sold... I can't even speak.
Good luck.
We have never sold ourselves.
We're recording on a Sunday afternoon, and I think Amy's ready to go to bed.
I'm quite fragile, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, you went out last night, didn't you?
Yesterday. We went out at 12 o'clock.
What time did you get home?
Well, I got the train. So by the time I got actual into bed, it was about 1:30, 1:00. Oh. It was quiet. I was on the Margs.
The Margs. Mm. Mackie Mayer Margs as well, right?
Mackie Mayer Margs and Firehouse Margs. It's really cute.
Yes.
There. Really nice. But
that's where we're having the Astrid Christmas party. Well,
yeah, it was really cute. But yeah, and then we ended up in Albert Schloss, which wasn't my choice.
Left field.
Wasn't.
Interesting.
It was. We were with people who were there, so.
Ah, I see.
So I'm feeling a little bit fragile. I'm not going to lie to you. I am ready to just go and sleep.
You've come armed with cookies, gigantic cookies as well, and I've already polished half of mine off.
I just, before pulling into the car park, I scrammed like a massive share bag of squares, and my tongue feels a bit fuzzy now.
Salt and vinegar. You are mad. They burn.
They're so good though. They're amazing.
They're a bit too crunchy for me.
Oh no, I like the crunch. And do you know what? I can eat them in my car when I'm on my own and no one's going to judge me for the crunch.
Yeah.
A square's not a crisp I'd eat in public, like, you know, with my lunch, because it's too loud. Like, I've got a thing about loud eaters, and that's just putting myself out there a bit too much. Oh.
Well, hopefully you'll start to feel better after this episode.
Thank you.
What are we talking about today, Ames?
Well, we thought it would be quite appropriate to talk about hydration coming into winter. The seasons are changing. It's becoming colder.
The leaves are falling.
The nights are longer. The days are shorter.
The sky is falling.
I get up in the dark and I come home in the dark, and it's really depressing.
Oh, God. Mm. Well, I think it's a very handy topic because there's actually a lot to talk about in terms of the science of the skin, which we all know I'm always here for.
Oh, 100%. That's you say a lot to talk about. That's you.
Yeah.
A lot for you to talk about. I'm just going to sit here and listen.
Well, what we're going to do first of all is talk about what's actually happening with our skin in winter. Or actually, we're talking about it coming from an angle that obviously it's getting colder, it's becoming much drier outside with the weather, there's not as much humidity. And for some dry girls like me and combi girls like you, we sometimes have to change up our skincare. And we're just basically going to have a look at how our skin reacts to this weather and what we should be doing differently to make sure that we're glowy but not congested.
All year round. Glowy all year round. That's the goal.
Glowy ready for Christmas.
Christmas glow.
Before we get into it, I do just want to tell you about an experience I had recently that I can't decide if I loved or hated.
That could literally be anything, like, I've got something in mind, but I'm not going to say it out loud.
What?
Just, like, an experience, can't tell if I loved or hated.
Oh, my God!
You've made it sound...
really saucy.
Quite
saucy. Actually, I've got two things to tell you.
Bloody hell, she's been busy.
She's been busy. They are monthly episodes now, gals.
Very true.
First of all, I'm just going to give Susan a shout out. Do you know who Susan is?
My next door neighbour.
Not that Susan, a different Susan.
Okay.
So Susan is my mum's cousin. And she is a journalist. She's a BBC radio presenter down south. And recently, sadly, we were at a funeral, a family funeral. And it was Susan's dad who had passed away, who is my mum's uncle. So we went up to Scotland, had the funeral, and then at the wake, my mum started chatting to Susan. And I hadn't spoken to her much because I'd not met her before. But I knew that she was in journalism because that's what I wanted to do when I was younger. And mum always said, oh, cousin Susan, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, when we were saying goodbye, I was like, I'm so sorry, we've not really had to chat. Obviously, she was dotting around speaking to everybody. And she goes, oh, your mum's been telling me about your podcast. And I was like, oh, yeah. And obviously, I thought she meant through work, like all the podcasts that I make. And then she goes, yes, what's it called? Birthday Skin. And I was like, oh.
No.
I was like, oh, my God.
I feel like that's one thing for us. Like, obviously, we love this. It's our baby. But please, family, go just I don't want my family listening to this.
Honestly.
I don't want it. I went on my granddad's iPad the other day and it was like, carry on listening. And I'm like, piss.
Oh my God. So hello to granddad too.
Yeah.
But I was like, Mum, please, you can't tell people. We were talking about dildos on the last episode. I don't need the family to listen. And she was like, but I was really proud of you. And I was like, well, you've not listened to that episode either and you've gone and told someone.
She has now listened because she messaged us saying, ha, you girls are so funny.
She has. Well, my mum listened on the way back from the funeral. And I was like, oh my God. I was literally in the car with her thinking, God, what is she listening to? But then I was like, sometimes you can kind of rest and rely on the fact that they're actually not going to go and listen to the podcast. They're not going to research it.
Mm.
But she's literally a fucking radio journalist. She's going to find it. So Susan, I'm sorry for what you heard in the episode.
Susan, I promise I'm not some dirty dildo obsessive.
I am
a nice young lady with a professional career.
I'm more embarrassed for you. I'm joking, I'm not. But yeah, thanks. So hello to Susan.
Cool.
And so the experience, the love or hate one that I'd mentioned before, cousin
Could
Susan.
Could be anything. What is it? Tell us.
Microneedling.
A lot more tame. That's tamer than I was expecting.
I didn't know what you're expecting from me. It's your mind that's...
Yeah, you are quite boring, aren't you?
Yeah,
quite
I'm very dull.
I'm joking.
I'm not. So my friend Ashley, I've had some acne scars I've wanted to get rid of for a while, like the crater ones. And she was like, oh yeah, we can help you with that, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I went along and oh my God, I knew it was going to hurt because it's hundreds of tiny needles stabbing you in the face. But oh my Jesus, I honestly could not believe how painful it was.
I can't even imagine what it would feel like.
I can't describe it. I was trying to explain it to my friend this morning and it's kind of like, if you know when you like, this sounds weird, but you know when you're a bit of a daredevil as a kid and you get a sharp knife and you kind of prick the end of it with your finger to see how sharp it is?
No.
Oh, too niche.
Bit of a daredevil or just a bit of a, like, is that the start of you becoming a bit of a psychopath or?
No, because remember when we lived together and I had that Japanese knife? Oh,
the
really
Japanese
sharp,
knife, yeah.
And you just like prod the end of it to be like, oh my God, it's so sharp.
I mean, I just, you know, you cut things with it to find out how sharp it was, not try and cut your own skin.
Well, anyway, I likened it to when you like prick yourself with the end of a knife and you're like, oh, ow, that hurt.
Okay, Sleeping
But
Beauty.
You don't cut yourself. But this actually does go into your skin.
Is it Sleeping Beauty or is it Snow White?
Snow White.
All right, Snow White.
So anyway, she was like, right, we need to do it once around your whole face and then we'll have a little break and then we need to do it two more times.
No.
And I was like, oh my God, right, okay. And obviously she was doing it professionally. So I was like, right, okay, well, you do what you need to do, but I've never had this done before. I'm really scared.
Mm.
And she was like, it's okay, don't worry, it'll be fine. So she started doing it and she started like on underneath my cheekbones. And I was like, okay, that's not too bad. And then, oh my God, she went to my jawline, killer.
Oh no.
Cheekbones, killer. Nose, killer. Forehead, killer. I don't have much skin to grab on my forehead or my nose. I don't have one of those noses that are squishy. I've got a hard nose. I feel like you...
The difference in our nose. I feel like I might not have a full cartilage in my nose because look at it.
That is so... It's so flat.
It is so... I mean, it's not flat normally,
no,
but
no.
It goes flat. It's... Anyway, carry on.
So I did the first pass and I was like, oh my God, Ashley, this really hurts.
Can't do that twice again.
Yeah, she was like, well, we need to do it at least one more time. And I was like, oh my God. And the thing is, so she uses a stamp. You can use a roller or a stamp, but she uses, and this is one piece of advice, if somebody goes to get microneedling, ask for a stamp rather than a roller because the roller can leave little cat scratches on your face. So obviously, as you can imagine, a roller, like if there's something sharp, it can kind of flick behind it and like drag the scar if they go too deep. So Ashley was like, I don't use that. I use a stamp. But it meant that she literally had to go like in, out, in, out. And the worst part is the fleshy noises. And I was like, ugh.
What, like,
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
And it's honestly just...
How deep do they go? Obviously not too deep, but like...
Well, she had... you obviously get a stamp per person. So when you go to the appointment, you have your stamp. So when you go the next time, you're using your stamp again. You're not changing. You're not using the same needles. But it means that she can choose the length of them. So I don't know how long they were, but she showed me the full length. And
so if
I think
somebody
she went down.
Had like... You know, it was a bit more fleshier, maybe a bit more like fat on the face. Would they have longer needles to penetrate more?
Probably. I
and then
guess
somebody
so.
With like a really tight face would have like really small needles.
Yeah, I would guess so. But also, I think it just depends. I think Ashley would know more than me for that. But she went over that first time and I managed to do it the second time and then I just couldn't do it again. Honestly, it was a complete killer, but I've got to have two more appointments.
Well done. It'll probably be easier now you know what to expect.
Yeah, but I do have some words of advice for people who want to get microneedling done. So first of all, oh my God, I can't believe people do them at home. Like people buy, because you can just buy the rollers and the stamps at home. But on that note, if you're doing it at home, so I had to have a face peel done before 3 weeks before the microneedling because I have acne prone skin. So if you stamp where you have a spot or you stamp into a pore that's got bacteria in it and then you stamp somewhere else, you're just moving it around. So I had to go through like quite a strict 3 week regime before it to make sure that my skin didn't have any active spots or we'd done our very best to make sure that there was no kind of acne bacteria deeper in the pores to spread around. So that's one consideration that people don't take into it. The second consideration is I obviously had to leave 3 weeks between the appointments and there's a lot of stuff you can't use and you can't do before it, but then after it there's so much stuff you can't use and you can't do, like so I had this serum put on afterwards that you have to leave on for 2 days and you can't wash it off.
How does that work?
So I'm not too sure, to be honest. It was something that she'd spoken to me about and it basically just helps to, she'll use different serums for different needs, but it helps to kind of regenerate the cells and like speed up the cell process of remaking collagen and elastin and all that kind of thing. So I had to leave that on my skin for 2 days afterwards. I couldn't shower, I couldn't exercise, I couldn't sweat. So there's a lot of things like this to consider that people don't know at home.
Yeah.
And also, the other two things are you don't know how hard you're meant to be pressing. You don't know how deep you need the needles to be going, like you'd said. And also, it's so painful. I don't know how you could carry on inflicting it to
on yourself.
Yeah.
We did speak about this. I can't remember what episode it was, but we did mention it like sometime last year and we were just like, anything that's, you know, so
invasive.
Penetrative.
Yeah. Sorry.
You know what I mean, though? Like, it's not as if you're just putting something on your skin. You're literally going inside.
Exactly, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It might be... I can imagine how easy it is to spread bacteria doing that carelessly. Yeah. Like, just go to a professional for it.
Exactly. So, yes, definitely don't do it at home. And if you did want to book in with the girl that I... If you're in Manchester, it's at the Cosmetic Consult on Instagram. This is not an ad. She literally did it for me and she did a really good job. I've got two more to do. I've got two more appointments.
You can do it.
Wish me luck.
The only thing I can liken you saying that it's like an unbearable pain to it is a sports massage.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Like the type of pain. This is completely off topic, but I had one a few weeks ago and it's the type of pain where it's like actually, like it makes you go, it's actually unbearable.
Yeah.
So that's what I can imagine. Like it's difficult to describe, but it's almost like you can't. Carry on.
Well, I've never had filler or like any needles in my face and I can't liken it to even just getting filler or Botox or whatever. Not that I'm against it, I've just never had it. And I just can't, I literally thought, I don't know how people have more invasive treatments than this, but anyway.
Well, with filler, you get like a numbing cream and not, depending on...
I had a numbing cream and it still fucking hurt. Oh,
Jesus. Depending on what kind of filler you get, that's got like numbing, properties
in it.
So the more that gets injected, the less you feel.
Well, that wasn't the case for microneedling. But anyway, shall we crack on with the episode?
Let's. Okay, so before you get into the sciencey bit, I'm going to put my two pence in and give you the little nugget of information I've got. So it's something we have mentioned before, but just a little recap. So we're going to be talking quite a lot about dry skin, but I just wanted to make sure that it's clear that there is a difference between dry and dehydrated. So dry skin is a skin type. Dehydrated is a temporary skin condition that anybody can get. So dry kind of like lacks oil, and that's when you'd see like irritated, flaky skin. And dehydrated is where it lacks water, which is where you'd get dull and itchy skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's
very
my,
good points to make.
There, that's my nugget.
Well, with all that in mind, obviously, we are going to go through, we're going to be talking more, like we said, about the way that external factors mm-hmm. can affect the hydration of our skin. And there's a couple of things that are slightly more scientific that I wanted to run through, because I need to give a shout out to Leonie, Megan and Ksenia. I know I always go on about them, but it was Megan and Ksenia who kind of informed me about this when they did my Skinterview.
Mm-hmm. And, oh my god, I love Skinterview.
Yeah,
love that.
Skinterview, that's the name of their podcast too.
Skinterview. It does ring a bell, but when I've never said it out loud.
Yeah,
Skinterview.
It's Skinterview. So Megan and well, it was mostly Megan that I was speaking to, but Ksenia's really hot on this kind of thing as well. They spoke to me about the barrier. So I think, I don't know whether it's just me, but I see skin barrier on plastered all over products all the time. And I'm like, nobody actually talks about what it is.
Yeah.
So we need to bear that in mind. But then within that, we need to speak about something called transepidermal water loss, which essentially...
there she goes.
Oh!
Again.
There she goes.
First of the ep, second or third of the new series.
I think it's the third.
Probably the fourth, to be honest.
Well, essentially, it's just losing water through your skin. So obviously your body is made up of a lot of water. And if your barrier is damaged or it's not working properly, we can lose a lot of the hydration that we naturally produce through hyaluronic acid or just the water that we have in our skin through the skin barrier. And it's really important that we make sure that skin barrier is strong so that we don't lose anything unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So the barrier is basically your skin. So one of the main things that our skin does is obviously keep everything held in. So
everything would just be like...
Yeah, your organs would be dragging around on the floor.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, it's horrible, isn't it?
It would just be a ball of mush.
I know. Well, it's your biggest organ. That's
very
why.
True. Well, we have managed to make a podcast about it for about 3 years. So we're proper milking that organ.
We really are. Thanks, skin.
Yeah. Thank you, skin, for giving us something to talk about.
Well, yes, you've got a very good point. So yes, thank you, skin, for giving us some content for God knows how long. So very quickly, I just want to talk about the barrier function, what it is, what else kind of goes on to make sure that our skin is hydrated. There is something called transepidermal water loss, and that is essentially just losing... Oh, there she goes again. Losing water from the surface of our skin, and that happens when you don't have a very strong barrier. Now, the barrier is made up of different oils that our skin secretes. It's made up of water, and we just need to make sure that there's a really good level of both. So like you were saying earlier, the dehydrated part of our skin, we can make sure we can combat that with things like amino acids, hyaluronic acid, some things like the Paula's Choice exfoliator. So we need to be giving our skin as much moisture as possible, but then we need to lock it in. And that's, we'd use something like a moisturizer. And then you can use weekly masks or different types of masks to keep on top of the hydration, and just in winter make sure that it's nice and protected.
Yeah, you're on top of it a little bit more.
Exactly. It's
a bit more to fight in the winter. You've got, you know, you're up against a few other factors.
You're up against
as well,
yeah.
You're up against the strong winds. You're up against the cold
icy
chill.
Temperatures.
Yeah, the icy temperatures. Exactly what you just said.
But there's just not much humidity. So we've spoken about humectants before on the podcast, and humectants just make sure that we are, humectants are attracted to water. So if our skin, that it works in both ways. So if you're putting products on your skin and your hyaluronic acid is drawn to deep within your skin, you'll be glowy, but it also can get dragged out of your skin through transepidermal water loss if it's quite dry outside. Mm. There's humectants everywhere, so you're constantly battling between keeping it in your skin and stopping it from escaping. And a moisturizer alone is not going to protect you enough. You need to use a few different products to combat a few different problems, and your moisturiser's just going to act as an extra barrier to lock it all in. Mm. But the good thing is there's so many moisturizers now that have additional qualities, so you can, there's different vitamins in there. They might be slightly exfoliating if it's an overnight one. It might be super nice and kind of light if it's a day one, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So hopefully I've summed it up well enough for you to understand that we've got the skin barrier, and that's really what we need to be kind of focusing on, making sure it's nice and happy throughout the winter.
Yeah, protecting it.
Exactly.
At all costs.
So shall we go through a few products that we can use to help with transepidermal water loss in winter and just making a happy, healthy barrier?
Let's.
Do you want to go first?
To be honest, yeah, I was going to say, I know we discussed this before, but our skincare routine, and like we said in the last episode, it's kind of simplified quite a lot recently, hasn't it? Like I'd say definitely over the past year, like we've kind of found our staples and ran with them. There are just a few things I change when it gets a little bit colder and drier. So I use squalane all year round. I absolutely love it. It's my favourite oil, like the ordinary one. It's what, £4 or £5?
Yeah.
I rebuy it every time. That and the Heckles pumpkin seed oil. Probably my two favourite oils ever.
Nice.
I do really like hyaluronic acid, and I don't doubt that it's, you know, not amazing, but when I put it on, I don't feel as hydrated as I should feel.
Did we talk about this in the last episode?
Maybe, I'm not sure, I can't remember.
In fact, no, we didn't. So, you know, earlier I was talking about The Skin Interview by Leonie. So that's their podcast. And I was having a listen to it. It is one that we produce, so this isn't an ad, but I'm just saying that they were talking to the founder of Pestle & Mortar, who do have a really good hyaluronic acid. I think it was that episode, maybe it was a different one. But something that I learned in their podcast was that you shouldn't really be putting hyaluronic acid. So the marine one from The Ordinary is more like a water, but a lot of them are quite gloopy, aren't they? If you've got a gloopy one, try not to fully dry your face, or give yourself, just splash your face with a bit of water, pat it so it's a little bit drier, then put hyaluronic on, because the hyaluronic acid is attracted to the water and they're going to go into your skin together and you'll feel more hydrated. So basically, Megan had said, a lot of people go to her and say, my skin feels drier after I've used a hyaluronic acid because it feels tight.
Yeah.
If you get that, just make sure your face isn't completely dry when you apply it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Although it is the marine one I use, which is, it's so slippy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe because I'm comparing it, but obviously the squalane is more of an oil, which just leaves me feeling way more hydrated, and I just feel like I reap the benefits a little bit more.
I think squalane is a bigger molecule. Don't quote me on that, but I think it lives on the top of your skin. So whereas hyaluronic needs to penetrate deeper into your skin, so that'd be a much deeper level of hydration. But each to their own. Like, I really like that marine.
I don't dislike it. I just feel like I would rather, sometimes I use them together, sometimes not. Depends. But yeah, so I kind of like run with those two oils to make sure my skin's like happy. The pumpkin seed oil from Heckles is like £12, and it's such a gorgeous oil. I absolutely love it. And I feel like in the winter I am more prone, I find myself reaching for like a more nourishing cleanser. Like normally I'll use the CeraVe one, the hydrating cleanser, which is really, really nice. But being a bit more bougie in the winter, I love my Pro Collagen Cleansing Balm because I feel like it is giving a little bit more back into my skin, because it's more of like a butter that turns into like an oil, and I feel like it is nourishing my skin as well as cleansing it.
Yeah.
So I'll use that a little bit more often in the winter because I feel like it's giving me something more. So I like the Kiehl's Ultra Facial Cleansing Cream. Is it? Yeah. It's called cream.
Yeah.
In the summer, I will use the gel one, which is oil-free, which is really, really nice. But in the winter, I will switch it back up to use the normal cream. Yeah. I find that's a really, really good moisturiser and makes me feel nice and glowy, and it's a good one to keep everything locked in. And again, I don't think it's too expensive either. And Kiehl's do a really nice thing. I think we've spoken about this before, where you save, you know, your empty pots and stuff.
Yes.
And you take it back in. So if you're using, say, like, you know, a couple a year, then, you know, you're going to reap the benefits at some point. Kiehl's, or not sponsored by Kiehl's, their avocado eye cream is also really, really nice. Like, it's one of the, I've got a few eye serums, but the avocado one I use when I feel a little bit more dull, because it's very thick. Mm-hmm. She's thick, which I like.
She's thick.
She's really thick. And then they also have a lip butter,
ooh,
which is beautiful.
You absolutely love a lip balm, don't you?
I love a lip balm. But you know what? Carmex as well, or Vaseline. Yeah. Like, I won't slag off the 90p.
Yeah.
The 90p lip balms. Yeah, I love them.
But, well, from a... Sorry to interrupt you there. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
I was just going to say, I also am prone to using the Weleda skin food at night.
Oh, yeah.
Never in the day. It's too much for the day.
Yeah.
At night, it's a lot thicker.
Well, one thing that I think is worth mentioning here, like you said, we've really stripped back our skin products and our skincare routine now, but I spoke about on the last episode the Exuviance moisturiser that I've been enjoying. That is actually an overnight moisturiser, but I use it morning and night. So that's me coming from a slightly more drier skin background. And I really like it, but it's just a little bit pricier. So it's for sensitive dry skin, it says. And it's got PHAs in it, which are... It's supposed to be this overnight transformation complex. That's what it's called. So the PHAs are really good for making your skin really smooth. But I've just never, ever used a moisturiser that's as hydrating as this one, because it's got loads of different vitamins in it as well. And obviously hyaluronic acid and whatever else. I don't know the ins and outs of the product, but it's phenomenal. And if you feel like in the day you need to use what is labelled as a night moisturiser, then do it, because it's literally, it's only being said it's to be used as a night cream because it probably has properties that are best suited for overnight, such as a PHA, but I use SPF every day anyway. So I would try not to follow the way that the company's marketing the product all the time, because it doesn't always make sense for your skin type.
Although I know a lot of night creams are like retinol based.
Yes.
So unless it's a retinol based night cream, I would not be using that in the day.
Don't
but
use
yeah
that,
I think no matter what you do, always wear SPF.
Always SPF. We love it. Another thing that I'd like to know is that I know sometimes if I use a lot of masks, or if I start masking more, or if I start using more products, it's not necessarily the case with this Exuviance, because I've changed my routine, but beforehand I would get quite congested. So with me getting that little bit more congested, it's important to use an exfoliator, and something we love is that Paula's Choice BHA exfoliator, which is phenomenal.
It's beautiful.
But that also really helps with hydration. There's a couple of products in there that have quite soothing properties, but there's also a hydrating property called methylpropionidiol, which I've never actually heard before, but it can enhance the absorption of other ingredients. So if you used a hyaluronic acid or an amino acid before it or after it, then they're going to work really nicely together, and obviously a moisturiser afterwards. But I just wanted to note that anybody who has dry skin, if you're getting drier in winter, it's really important to exfoliate as part of this routine, because you might not want to use something really harsh, like you might not want to use any home peels like the ordinary one, because that could be a little bit drying. But you want to make sure that you don't get kind of dead skin cells staying in your pores for too long, because that's what's going to cause that congestion, especially if you're masking more.
Yeah.
So make sure that there's some level of exfoliation in your routine throughout winter.
Yeah, definitely. That's my kind of thing. I can't really... gets frustrating when you've got dry, like flaky skin, but you can't use, you know, like a harsh exfoliator that you know is going to get rid of it, but then in, you know, on the other hand, it is going to make it worse because sensitive skin. But I obviously, you know, bang on about having sensitive skin, but the Paula's Choice works for me.
Yeah,
so if it works for me, I'm sure it'll work for other people. And if not, I really like the Dermalogica Microfoliant.
Microfoliant.
Yes, I feel
like
that's
about that last time.
Yeah, it's really nice. And maybe another exfoliant for you to try. I know you can get like the little tester pot before you invest in the big one. So just try trial and error with it, really, but just don't go for anything too harsh if you're a sensitive gal like me.
Exactly.
My skin.
Love that.
Thank you.
Little cameo.
Thank you. You can tell I'm perking up a little bit more now.
I know. You should have had a cookie as well. Just really got that sugar rush going.
Might nom on it on the way. Nom on it. Where did the... nom on it. Why did I say?
Right?
Why did I say nom on it? I might nom on it on the way home. Nom, 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 nom.
You know that there's a brand called Pinch of Nom.
Yes.
And I can't.
The cookbooks.
My mum was like, I'm going to make a Pinch of Nom recipe. And I was like...
What does it mean? Like a pinch? Like you'd pinch the salt, but instead of salt, it's nom.
Yeah. Oh, God, it makes me cringe so much. I hate the name.
Why do you do that pinch of nom?
Oh, nom. Sorry, I can't. I hate that word.
Nom, nom, nom,
pinch
nom.
Pinch of nom.
Nom.
The term. Anyway.
Anyway.
Back to the masks.
Masking.
So, obviously, we've spoken about masking very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
You've, by this point, hopefully you've introduced some hydrating ingredients, hyaluronic acid being a good one, amino acids being another good one, a good moisturizer to seal it all in. But you might be thinking, still feel like I could do a little bit more. And that's where the mask comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So for my birthday, I actually got the Summer Fridays jet lag mask.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed it, but it wasn't what I expected.
Oh.
Not going to lie.
Why?
So it was the same texture that I was expecting, but you don't wash it off. I thought it was one that you'd put on and then wash off.
Oh, does it like sink in?
You leave it and it says apply a thin layer and then you can kind of wipe any excess off with some cotton pads afterwards if you wanted, but if not, you just leave it. And I was like, well, this is all well and good, but for me, I felt like it was fully absorbed really quickly. So I apply a thick layer and then I wipe a little bit off, which is fine, but I feel like I'm using double the product. So I really enjoyed that and would highly recommend. It also really doesn't have any fragrance to it as well, which is great for sensitive.
Yeah, you're not a fragrance gal, are you?
I am not. Not for a dry gal. No way.
Mm.
So yes, I would highly recommend the Summer Friday Jet Lag one. She has brought out some more.
Yeah, there's like a brownie one, isn't there, as well?
Yeah. I got the travel size one just because it's pretty expensive and I never used it before. I probably would buy the bigger
size.
One.
£42.
But I've only used the mini one 3 times. So I'll see. But I like the Kiehl's Calendula one, which I know you've got on your list to talk about.
Yeah, I've actually got two. When you were talking about you leaving it on overnight, it reminded me of one I tried. It sounds like I'm sponsored by Kiehl's. I wish I was, I'm not. They have on the Ultrafacial range, it's the Ultrafacial Overnight Hydrating Mask. And it's
yes.
this similar thing where you put a bit on, wipe the excess off, but you sleep in it overnight.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it is delicious.
Dreamy.
Yeah, it's such a nice product.
It does say for the Summer Fridays when you can wear it overnight as well.
Does it?
I just don't like wearing ones overnight because I roll around a lot and I actually fall asleep.
Depends how greasy they make me. Like, if they make my face like slidey, I don't want to wear it overnight. If it sinks in, then fair. Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know.
But I just feel like I have to fall asleep looking like a corpse.
Mm.
You know, like on your back with your hands just on your chest,
yeah.
looking at the ceiling and then you just drift off.
Like you've literally been buried.
I don't fall asleep like that.
No, I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like that. And then the calendula one.
Yeah.
Is really, really, really nice. And just really nice and soothing. Like.
Yeah. And you know what? It does have quite a lot of fragrance in it, but I do like that.
Mm.
I bought it in the airport and I was like, okay, yeah, I might as well get it because I liked yours.
Mm.
And when my skin had been in the sun, it wasn't great. But did I tell you about my face mask flight hack?
Mm-mm.
I've nailed it.
Mm.
I've nailed being glowy on a plane.
Go on then.
So I was always the kind of person that would get on a plane and be like, oh my God, what is happening to my skin? Within kind of 20 minutes of taking off, I'd be like, Jesus, this is bad news.
Like SpongeBob.
Like SpongeBob. And I decided that what I was going to do was do a mask as soon as I woke up, because we had an early morning flight, put the face mask on, 10 minutes. And this was one that I already had at home. It was a Dr. Jart one.
Mm. Oh, TK Maxx special.
Yeah, it was Love a TK that. Maxx special. I put that on while I was just kind of putting all my last minute things into my bag, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Took it off literally as I stepped out the door, put my moisturiser on and left.
Mm.
Then got to the airport, obviously was still quite glowy. On the plane, whole time, absolutely fine. Landed, still glowy. Couldn't believe it. It was a 3-hour flight.
Well done.
3.5-hour flight. And then I thought, right, well, maybe it was just a good one-off because maybe we'll see the Dr. Jart. And because on the way there, I'd bought the Kiehl's mask in the airport, I thought, oh, I'll try that on the way back. So again, early morning flight. First thing I did, brush my teeth, put the face mask on, wipe it off 10 minutes later, put my routine on, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Leave, get to the airport again. Absolutely smashed it. So you don't always have to be that idiot on a Ryanair
on the plane,
flight
yeah.
with under eye masks or a face mask on. Just do it before you get on the plane.
Mm. Yeah,
complete winner. And the Kiehl's one worked, the Dr. Jart one worked. So I would like to say there is my number one hack for flying.
Mm. Thank you.
Not that it's summer anymore.
Yeah. Next year.
So yes, I really like that calendula one.
It's
just
really
didn't
nice.
Feel good after
yeah.
the sun.
I really like it. Mm-hmm. I like the like. Consistency of it, like the gel.
Yeah.
I think I get along better with like a gel.
Yeah.
Consistency rather than, I don't know, like a harsh cream.
Yeah.
I wanted to give a shout out. I bought the Pixie Detoxif Eye.
Ooh.
Patches.
Oh, haha, Detoxif Eye.
Detoxif Eye. Eye.
Eye.
Yeah, patches. Yeah, got the de-puffing ones
yeah.
and they're just like little jelly patches and they're like packed in this like yeah. moisture thing and you just, you know, you slap them on. But they're really hydrating Love. And you aren't as much of a big fan of like eye care, are you really?
I just don't feel like I need it.
Fair enough. I like it because it gives me a little bit more of a boost and it's a bit, you know, it's a nice step to add into my routine. Like
yeah.
I enjoy it and I'm quite conscious of my under eyes mm-hmm. looking like dull and dehydrated and stuff. So I do a lot to try and combat it and
mm-hmm.
just makes me feel nicer.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like a proper little pamper
yeah.
getting a little eye mask on underneath. So I really like them as well.
Yeah. I bought that Glossier lip and eye thingy. What's it even called?
I don't know.
The little moisturising.
The wrap, something wrap.
Yes,
bubble
that's
wrap.
It, bubble wrap. I bought that and I do like it and I started putting it under my eyes and I was like, I still don't feel like I need it.
Yeah,
honestly, I don't know. I think it's one of those things, if you don't feel like you need it, don't waste your money on it. But the last thing that I want to talk about on this topic is something that we did just briefly mention.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jart in yes. TK Maxx. They are
oh.
everywhere. The sheet masks, the ones with the weird babies with the straw
oh,
sticking out
the, like the fleshlight ones.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so odd. But I do absolutely love the, like, I know you've got the same as well, haven't you? Because we spoke about it, but you can get like a pack of five for like 12
yes.
quid.
Oh my God,
I'm going to
so
do
good.
One of them when I get him.
I picked up, there were so many in my local TK that I picked up so many, I realised I was going to be spending nearly £100 on them and I was like, I need to just choose a few.
Yeah, especially when they're already discounted.
Yeah,
you can't be
exactly.
That.
So I chose a couple and I think I'd focus on hydration more than anything, which was quite apt, but they are really nice sheet masks and
mm.
the rubber ones, really good. I really like the texture of them. Mm. You wanted to briefly mention something about hands.
I get quite dry hands.
Yeah, I don't get dry hands.
I get really dry hands to the point where they go like red and flaky.
So
sometimes.
What's your recommendation?
I really like the Vaseline
oh, God.
Hand cream.
Old OG.
I just really like it. Like I don't, but it's quite silky. So if I need like a big, thick old hand cream.
Yeah.
I do like the Aveeno one as well.
Yeah.
Dead not, simple.
Do you not feel like your hands are slippy? That's one thing I hate about hand creams is that you feel like your hands are slippy.
Depends which one you get. Like
yeah.
you can get some that are really like oily, but I need a good hand cream in the winter because
yeah.
my hands suffer quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to like sugarcoat it and tell you I buy like a 50 quid hand cream because I don't. I will literally get one, like a drugstore one
yeah.
because...
Drugstore.
I will get like a drugstore hand cream. Yeah, there is... I did try, my friend really recommended the like Palmer's coconut one. But for me, it was like too, it's very thick and it's nice, but it's just too fragrant. It's like, it's too strong. It stinks of fake tan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's not nice. Not what you want.
I just, dead simple. And do you know what? Don't take the piss out of me, right? But my grandma buys me Avon stuff, and the Avon hand creams are really nice.
Yeah, Avon stuff's good. I did just want to note as well, don't be afraid to use things like hyaluronic acid on your hands.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
It's just because these things are marketed for your face, they can be used anywhere on your body.
Mm.
I remember when Christy was staying over, my friend from New York, she had the set, that really necessaire, you know, the body like shower gel and stuff. She said that she bought the set and she had the shower gel, the serum and a moisturizer, and the serum was literally just like a big bottle of hyaluronic. And so don't just think that these things are for your face only. Also, in, I think a lot of people forget to put SPF on their hands, especially after they've like done their face or put makeup on or whatever, you'll wash your hands. Don't forget to put SPF on top of your hands as well, because I always think you can tell someone's age by how wrinkly their hands are.
Yeah, no, I get that. I feel like it's like, you know, once you've done your products on your hands, put them on your skin, give them a little bit of rubber around, you know.
Yeah, a rubber.
Give them a bit of rubber on your hands. Protect them babies too.
And I think the last thing that I would like to say here is my mum always gets on at me for not moisturising my feet enough. My feet, she gives me those like peel thingies. So I put them on there.
I know, I got so many pictures last time you did one.
Disgusting. Well, I did one and I loved it. And then she bought me for my birthday the Sol Janeiro foot cream. And that is amazing because, much like my hands, I hate feeling, actually anywhere on my body, I hate the feeling of moisturizer just sitting on top of your skin.
Yeah,
it's too slimy. It gets on your clothes.
Like, I completely agree.
Awful. But this one, straight in.
Well, I know firsthand because, you know, I was at yours a few weeks ago. We'd had, you know, a couple of wines. You got a really good foot cream. And I was like, all right, cool. You're like, do you want to try it? And I was like, are you offering me a foot massage? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, all right, then.
Here you go.
And we just sat there watching Baptiste having a foot massage, drinking wine.
It was. And honestly, they do a hand cream. You should try that. And I really like their lip balm because it smells like cake.
Fair enough.
Delicious.
Fair enough.
And I think we've probably covered everything and bored you all enough, plus the meter's running out on the car, so we best get cracking.
See ya.
Were there any final notes you'd like to make, Ames?
I think what I was going to say is what something I have learned as well, like, don't feel like you need to switch up the whole of your whole routine and invest in like a new serum and a new moisturizer and a new exfoliant on all this. Find what works, because if you've been using a product, it obviously works for you. And then if you need to switch up your moisturizer, that's fine. Like, don't feel pressured to switch everything. And when it comes to hand cream and lip balm, you don't need the really bougie fancy stuff. Like, you know, lip balm. Exactly. Lip balm is just there like a moisturizer to keep in the moisture for your lips. It's not adding.
Yeah, no lip balm actually gives you moisture.
It's just locking it in.
Again, it's just acting as a barrier.
I love Vaseline. People slag it off, but I really like it.
Yeah.
And Carmex, and I really like Glossier's one, even though it's quite expensive for what it is, I think.
If you are out there for the market of a good expensive one, Albus and Flora, oh my God, the best. Love it so much, but it is £30. But it has SPF in it. And on my last note, as it's getting to winter, UV rays pass through cloud, so don't forget your SPF.
Yes, we still need our SPF.
Exactly.
Ladies and gents.
And on that note, I think that's us.
I think we've bored people enough.
Done and dusted.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. Please do give us a little follow if you don't already at birthday.skin.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back our next episode. Are we saying what it is, or are we leaving it as a surprise?
No, we'll leave it as a surprise.
All right, then.
Plus, we might change our mind.
That's true. Although the next one's quite apt for the time of year it's coming out. So.
It is. We'll be back on the last Tuesday of November.
Yes.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.